You know, Jesus tells us that if we receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, we will get a prophet's reward. And so in some ways, what we're going to walk out of this meeting is in the way that we receive them. And so there's a couple of ways that we can receive people. I'll tell you the minor way in how we receive people. It's really the minor way, but it should be mentioned as well. One of the ways that we receive people is by also giving into them, right? And so I want us, number one, I want us to ask that we would, that if God puts on your heart, we want to bless them. They've come from afar. It is more expensive from Australia to here to come here, and they've here on their own expenses. And they've been on their own expenses in Stellenbosch. We've tried to bless them in Stellenbosch, but they haven't allowed us. In fact, they've really blessed us here. This is the apostolic bank details. It's people that comes in translocally, come amongst us. So the example and reference is apostolic gift name. Don't write apostolic gift name, number one. Number two, also don't write example Peter the Porter. Okay? So for us, well, you will write Martin Stockdale, Martin Carrie Ann Stockdale. That's what you would do at reference. So that's the thing. I'll put that onto the Josh Chen AM group as well, so that you guys can, if you guys want to give into them, that you can do that. But the 90% of the way that we receive people and walk away with a gift is that we are willing to change the way the word pierces today. So a friend of mine, he's a prophet he's a prophet in America, and he went to a church, and he prophesied. It was like 100 people there. He prophesied over the whole church. Maybe Martin will do that today as well. And he prophesied over the whole church, and he gave them words, and then 2 years later, he came exactly to the same congregation, and they asked him again to just minister over the people. So he ministered to almost exactly the same people, and he ministered over all of them. And then, you know, he is prophetic, and they do a lot of ministry over people, so they would remember who he ministered to. It's 2 years ago. In the meanwhile, there's thousands of people that they've prayed for and so on. And anyway, after the meeting, the pastor came to him and says, listen, there's a complaint amongst the people that says, you have prophesied exactly the same to the people that you've prophesied last time. In fact, in some cases, it's word for word the same. What's up? And so he was quite shaken by that. And so he went to pray, and he asked the Lord, Lord, what's happening? Why? What did I do? And he says it was like, as he closed his eyes, it was a second, or God spoke to him, and God said to him, the reason why they got exactly the same words is because they didn't do anything about the words that I previously spoke to them. And our ability to receive a gift is not in the way that we shout, amen, we hug one another afterwards, or anything of that. But it's our willingness to humble ourselves and change in the way that they're going to speak. And so I want to say Martin is a gift. He's a gift. I mean, he's a gift to the body, but he's a gift in the 412 movement. He's really a gift. And I want us to open our hearts, not in the way that we just go like, oh, thank you, Jesus, or oh, thank you, amen, but that we are committed to take this word and apply it to our lives and change. So, Martin, if you can come to the front. Where's Zorro? Sorrel. Sorrel, can you quickly come? So Sorrel introduced him. Sorrel introduced himself to Martin on Friday, but the Australian accent didn't pick it up, so it was Zorro. So in their minds, this is Zorro. The funny thing is Sorrel never corrected them. He just went with it. So No. I want you to. Would you pray for them?
Yeah. Lord, we thank you that we can pray for Martin and Carrie. And Lord, thank you that we can recognize them, something that you do. We open our hearts this morning, Lord, and soften our hearts, Lord. And where you want to touch us, Lord, each one, Lord, that we will leave this meeting that we will feel that you spoke to each one of us individually. Lord, we pray for Martin, we pray for wisdom, Lord, we pray for your spirit to be with him, and that it will be a kindness and a softness and a gentleness that just comes from you. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think when you come from Australia, it must be a standard thing. Lord, let them be gentle. thanks, hey. Just before, you know, when Jesus began to minister, there was a guy that went before him and opened up the way before him. You know who that is? John the Baptist? I don't have John the Baptist here with me this morning, I'm sorry, but I do have my wife, Carrie. And she's just going to come up and say a quick hello. Is that all right? Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. So good to be here this morning. And like, it is not a cliche, I've already heard it this morning, but just to feel part of family, that we are brothers and sisters together, is just amazing. We've felt so welcomed here. But I just want to say, you live in, to me, one of the most beautiful places in the world. Oh my goodness, this is beautiful, beautiful people, and we have just had an amazing time here. It's just been a couple of days, but yeah, it's just absolutely beautiful, and it's been so nice to get to know some of you. But just in the prayer time this morning, I just really felt God, God say the passage, I think in the Psalms, where it says, a broken spirit dries up the bones, but a merry heart does good like a medicine. And I just feel even this morning, God has already come bringing a merry heart that is good like a medicine. But I want to encourage you this morning that he has not finished. And I just felt like just an anointing oil this morning for those dry bones, that dry spirit. If you're feeling a bit dry in your spirit, that God just wants to come in. And I loved what was said this morning about he's got a good track record. And I just think God wants us to remember and celebrate what he has done this morning. And that let that just be, bring a merry heart that brings fresh oil on dry bones this morning.
Amen. All right, Lord, we thank you for that. We want to have a bit of joy in the house this morning. For those of you who aren't aware, I've actually been here before. I know most of you tried to forget that previous time, but it is true, I did come. And I think, I'm not quite sure how many years it was, so I'm not sure if I let you know or I reminded you. I actually come from the best rugby-producing team country in the world. I come from New Zealand originally. Definitely not Australia. When I'm in Australia, I go for two teams. People go, oh, you know, like when, you know, they'll ring me up when South Africa beat Australia and they'll be like, oh, they don't realise I go for two teams in rugby. I go for the All Blacks and whoever is playing the Wallabies. so it is a joy to be with you guys. You know, I woke up this morning at something like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I am not a 4 o'clock in the morning person. So I figure I've got about 30 minutes now before I crash. You know, like when I do wake up, I often sit there thinking about the morning and what's going to happen. And I don't get up because that would be too much light for me at that time in the morning. And so I lie there and just think about the morning. And I just want to say, you know, I think when I was growing up, I just didn't cry a lot. I was sort of like, you know, you've got to tough it out. You're a man, you know, and you get slapped around. I remember at school in New Zealand getting the cane. I don't know if you guys ever had the cane in school. I loved it because it meant that I didn't have to get detention. I could get the cane instead and get over and done with. I remember, you know, just seeing one of my friends get the cane and coming in crying, and I'm like, there's no way I'm doing that, you know, and so I came back in with a big smile on my face, and the teacher wasn't too happy about that either, but I just say that because, I don't know, God has just softened me so much over the last few years, and I just like, when I come into a house where there's just true worship, I just cry. And I came into a house this morning that just had true worship. where the living God was celebrated. He was in our midst. Can you say amen? I mean, he is such a good God. He is so good. And I don't care how much I cry anymore when it's over stuff like that. I love worshiping God, but I love worshiping God with his family. And it's just so powerful. And so I want to say thank you for welcoming us here this morning, not just in color saying, here's Marty and Carrie, but in including us in your worship this morning and actually truly worshiping our great and awesome Savior. And so that to me is a privilege wherever I go in the world. And you don't get it all the time. I don't cry all the time. I'm not Warren. But I do when the Lord is around, you know, when he is in the house, it's, you know, he just changes everything. And I don't know how you walked in this morning or what your life is like right at that at this moment, but I do know that just encountering the Lord changes everything. It changes our perspective. It's like, it's such a small thing, you know. Actually, when I was standing here this morning, I saw it at Colour's house the other day as well. I'll hopefully get to a message which is up there. The title is actually Unfinished. I'll get to that, but just at Colours, and then in here again this morning, I just was looking at the floorboards. I've just been impacted by floorboards, and it's a weird thing, but I'm just, and I've never said this before. I think I might have said it at your guys' place, but I'm not sure, but it's been in my thinking just the last few days, and I was looking down at the floorboards and just thinking, man, how many people have traveled on these floorboards? There would be tens of thousands of people. These things look like they've been here quite some time. And the floorboards at Colour's house look like they've been there for quite some time as well. And I'm just like, man, there's all of these lives that have traveled on these boards. And even, I think, as a Jean, you know, like I feel like, you know, I'm not talking about floorboards in this building now, but in church life, there's people that just travel with us. There's people that go with us and they leave again. Not so good, but no. They leave again, but they leave a mark. You know, they leave something of what God has done in their lives and on their lives that actually create something that for others to walk upon. And I just want us to know that when we're walking with the Lord, we're never not leaving a mark. We are always leaving a mark for someone to walk upon. I feel like saying that for you. Is it Jan? Am I getting it right? Jan. In Australia, when we're telling a story, we call it a yarn. We're giving a yarn, you know. So anyway. And we are giving a yarn this morning. But just that actually what you've done here, you've laid stuff here, just yarn, this is for you. So listen, stop talking to your future bride. Is it? Am I getting that right? I better be careful what I say there. But that the what you've laid here, even though you're not here, that what you've put in people's lives, God will continue to build upon. But that actually he it's not over, you know. It's like to continue to build and continue to do, to lay down stuff in people's lives that will actually cause them to walk. And that's what we do in life. We to walk with the Lord. We lay down foundations for people to walk upon. And we want to be a people who are constantly hearing God and actually, Lord, what is it that, where do you want me to step so that someone else can step where I stepped, so that someone else can go where I go? That's a pioneer people. That's a people who, you know, don't live for this world, but live for the world to come. And I feel like God is saying that this is that church. And actually, some of you won't be able to see it, but at the back of the stage there's five pallets. And just as I was worshiping, I just felt the Lord like saying to me about how that's a representation of this church. It's brought people in and then it's sent people out. And the pallets are you know, like they're not the thing that people want. That they're not the thing that that we're building with, but they're the thing that's transporting. And that this house is a house that is actually building and transporting, building and transporting, and building and transporting. And I'm standing there and I'm like, as I'm worshiping God, I'm just like, Lord, impact in Australia. We need to build and send, build and send, build and send, build and send. Because the time is short, guys. I know you might have heard that before, but it's something that stirred in me more and more over the last maybe 2 or 3 years, just that the time is short, and we need to hear that and know that actually we don't have all the time in the world. We actually have a king who's coming back, and we want to run hard for him, hey? We want to leave our mark. We want to, you know, there might be thousands that come after us, but Lord, let them stand upon something that we've built. Let them stand upon something that we've shown. And, you know, we pass from one man, you know, Paul writes and he says to Timothy, you know, the things that I've entrusted to you, teach others, you know. And it's like there's this thing of the constant movement. We're like floorboards, really. You know, it's like these things that there's probably thousands of different panels of floorboards in this room, and it's like, you know, who knows which one or whatever they walked on. But so we're not the important thing. The important thing is that we lay something down of our lives that others can walk upon. Can you say amen? That actually our lives become something that people can move through on. Kala, I just had a word for you too, and I just felt like God was saying, you are a cult. Well, let me read it, because I wrote it better than this was just this morning in the worship as well. But Kala, you are a counter kingdom culture breaker. You will break cultures, or you will break cultural things down that are not the kingdom, and that you will open up the kingdom to people, and to be a person who's got the gloves on to fight the good fight of the faith and break things open for people and run in, and you're bringing people into freedom and continue to bring those people into freedom. The guy on the guitar, where are you? Where is he? Is he here? Did he run? But oh no, I'm not listening to that Aussie. Is he here? What are you doing out there? I'm in here. Are you with the kids? Are you with the kids? All right. I just wanted to say, you know, like I looked at you, I'm like going, man, that is the weirdest guitar playing thing I've ever seen. I'm looking at a right-handed guitar flipped over to a left-handed guitar with the string still strung as though it was a right-handed guitar. So then you'd have to learn all the chords upside down. And I just felt like, you know, you were... And then I saw your fingers, you know, and I hope I'm not embarrassing you with that. I saw that you're missing a few fingers on your left hand, and that's why you've done that. I like that's a good symbol too. Yeah, go for it, bro. But you're a picture of what we're all meant to be. Adaptable. That there's no obstacle that God can't overcome, that he can't take us through. And so I just wanted to say, man, it was so beautiful watching you play the guitar up there. And just to know that you're a bringer of songs to people, that you are that like I think the Lord put something in your heart and no matter what you wanted to do that sort of thing, and it's a wonderful picture for everybody else in the room that there is nothing that actually shouldn't be overcome. If the Lord says yes, who are we to say no? We can actually run with him. So thanks, bro. It was such an encouragement to see you up there worshiping God in the weirdest form ever. Doing my head in. But I love it because Paul writes and he says, I'll become all things to all men. I'm not just going to be Marty. I'm not just going to be color. I'm not just going to be, you know, I'm not going to be just who I think I want to be, you know. Like I'm actually, we were talking with... Kala and Naoko, and there's a what's it called, a personality profile thing that can be done over people. And I remember I was in Bible college Most of you will be surprised to know that when you know my scriptural understanding, but I was in Bible college many years ago and we did that profile, and I remember sitting there and there's like four personality types, and I was just sharing it with these guys. There's four personality types. There's like sanguine, life of the party. There's choleric, strong leader. There's melancholic, very empathetic, very emotive, quite creative. And then there is phlegmatic, which is like fairly easygoing. Whatever, just goes with the flow sort of thing, is able to just fit in and slot in. And I remember being at Bible college doing this test, and I came out like 70-something, 80% of one thing, and 20-odd percent, or just under 20-odd percent of something else, and then just a smidgen of other things. And I'm like sitting there, and that was probably one of the times I felt like crying. Because I'm sitting there, and the one thing that I came up as was phlegmatic. And phlegmatic is not good for strong leadership. And I'm like, God, I thought you'd call me to be a leader. And I had my pity moment. And I honestly, in the midst of that, I sat there and I thought, but Lord, in all of those four personalities, which one were you? And I just was thinking about it. I thought, no, you actually were the good in every single one of them. And then I thought, well, if you were the good in every single one of them and I'm meant to be transformed into your likeness, then I don't have to stay there. And I just wanted to share that because I feel like some people have had things spoken over your lives. This is what you are. This is who you are. God can change that. And now if I sit with anyone now and that sort of thing comes up, they'll never pick phlegmatic. They'll never say, Marty, you're phlegmatic. And it's not been me, it's been the Lord changing me, but me not being happy with what the world said about me. I felt like the Lord had called me to leadership and I had to overcome some obstacles then. And so I want to say that whatever the Lord has called you to, we have to overcome obstacles. We're never just, you know, He calls things that are not. Marty, not a leader. Mr. Phlegmatic. I should have had a big t-shirt with a P on it today. Oh, it's spelled with a P, P-H, sorry. With a big P on it today. But actually, no. He calls things that are not as though they are. He said something different about my life than what the world would have said about my life. And I want to encourage you to press in to Him and find out what He says about you. So I'm going to have to sort of read some scripture, otherwise I'll never get invited back by color. let me just look at my notes and find out where we will go. All right, if we can get up on the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we've heard this through the week. We've been in some apostolic training through the week. And we've heard this passage of scripture a couple of times. But I want to just have a look at it slightly differently today. Not that what we heard was wrong, but that what we heard was applicable to the church, to the body. But actually, I think it applies to us as individuals as well, so that we can actually take that and go, Lord, you want to do something in my life, you know? And just before we read that, you know, one of the things, when I first got saved, I share this story. When I first got saved, I was like in the Word maybe 3 to 5 hours a day. I just like could not get enough of the bread. I could not get enough of it. I just read and read and read and read. And I'm like going, I got to know that Word really well, and the Word got to know me really well. And after maybe 2 years of doing that, I was like, I was Mr. Christianity. You know, if you had Mr. Universe, well, I was Mr. Christianity, man. I was like, I've nailed this thing, you know. Like, I am a believer to be admired. And, you know, like I would walk into the room and everyone would just move out of the way. It's like, no, not really. But I felt, honestly, I got this sort of prideful mindset of like, I've achieved this. I don't even know if it was prideful, but it was just naivety, I think, more than anything. Feeling like, man, I've done it. God's really changed me. He's really done some stuff on the inside of me. And then I got married. There's a word for you, Jan. And then I realized, oh man, I don't have this Christianity thing down 101. And I'm like, and I started the process. It felt like I started right back at the beginning again and just had to go through all that process again. And even though that slide that I had up before, it was unfinished, it had the we stand in the finished work of Christ. We stand in what Christ has done for us, but we're an unfinished work. We are being transformed. We're not finished. That God is actually taking us from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory with ever-increasing glory as we live with unveiled faces. And so we have to understand that. So anyway, married now. Martin, you're a lousy Christian. Like, you just, like, man, get upset over the silliest things. Maybe a few years into being married, oh, I got this thing again, man. Come on, Carrie, let's go to church. And things were good. And then we had kids. And kids reminded me again that I'm an unfinished work. That God has actually still got stuff to do in me. And, you know, guys, never get down on yourself, you know. Like, actually, we are on a journey. We're in a process. And I'm not the same guy that I was when I got saved. And hopefully, by the grace of God, I'm not the same guy when I go to be with Him that I am today. That I'm continually being changed into His image, continually positioning myself, knowing that, you know, that those two events of getting married and having kids have taught me that I'm never going to get there until I'm before Him. When I see Him face to face, then I shall be like Him. But until that moment, I'm being transformed into His likeness. I'm being changed into His likeness. And so just to set our direction, I said this statement in our church recently. You set your direction towards the kingdom. You set your direction towards Christ. You set your direction towards Him. And He'll begin to look after the perfection. He'll begin to perfect us in Him as we set our direction towards Him. So let's read this scripture. According to the grace of God, I'm reading from the ESV. Is that the ESV up there? Cool. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with stuff, if anyone builds on the foundation with what they've achieved, if anyone builds on the foundation with what this world values, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be manifest, for the day will disclose it. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. And I just love that passage of scripture that Paul's writing this out, and he's talking about being a master builder. And, you know, he doesn't actually give us physical materials to build with. He gives us faith to build with. He gives us a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He gives us God gives us His grace to build upon. Like it said right there at the beginning of that verse, according to the grace of God given to me. Every single one as a believer in this room has been given a measure of that grace, has been given grace to you, but it's not just grace to be saved, it's grace to do. The grace of God is to actually outwork the kingdom of God in our lives. And I love that Paul's writing this, and as he's writing it, he's saying, I became a master builder. I became what God had called me to by His grace. I didn't just sit there and think, oh, this is all good, it's sweet, I'm going to heaven. No, I'm going to do something with the grace of God. I'm going to let it powerfully work within me so that I can become something. And not every one of us is going to be a preacher, and not every one of us is going to be a worship leader, and not every one of us, but we are all called to something. And I think that we have to get into our world and start to think, man, God, what have you called me to as an engineer? What have you called me to as a shopkeeper? What have you called me to as a business owner, as a farmer? What have you called me to? Because you want me to be a person that lays a foundation for others to walk upon. And we have to be careful that life and stuff doesn't distract us from the call of God on our lives. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 says this. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. I was like, I didn't even think of that when I wrote this passage of scripture. Calla said, bring something fresh, man. This is fresh off the press. It doesn't get fresher than this. And it's so funny, I didn't even think about that. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. And Peter, however you say his name, from the Netherlands, De Kort, he was saying about how, you know, he just saw what the apostles and that were teaching and said, I'll just do that. You know, I will devote myself to the apostles' teaching and just do that. And God has brought great success upon that. And so even here, Jesus is saying, do the same thing. Listen to my teaching, hear what I'm saying, and just do that. And there's wisdom in that. So let's just be a people who go, God, we want to live by your patterns, your ways, God. We want to get out of our ways and live by your ways because that's a sign of wisdom. Is my accent okay? Would it be better if I said, I drove in my truck from the Transvaal and you'd understand me better, but verse 24, he is wise like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. If we could go on, I could read more about that. I hope you know that passage of scripture, but just for time's sake, I'll leave it there and just say, what are we actually building on? You know, I love that this floor was built to last, I don't know how many years, but definitely tens of thousands of footprints. Millions maybe of footprints of people walking over this. You think of just this room this morning, how many steps we've taken each in this room and multiply that by, you know, tens or hundreds of steps that we've done in here. This floorboard, this place has been built to last. It won't last forever, but Christ lasts forever. He is a solid rock. Are we building our lives upon Him? About 8 or 9 years ago, I was leading the church that we planted in Adelaide. And I remember we had a stage. It wasn't quite as high as that. This one here, it was probably about half that height. And I was standing on it and just looking out. I think it was during the worship. And I was just looking out at the church and going, man, I don't even like this place. This is what was going on in my head. Not a good thing for the pastor to be thinking. And I just looked out and I thought, man, there's so much carnality, so much selfishness. I'm looking out going, Lord, I just don't think that you're happy with this house. And I thought to myself, I don't know what to do. Like, I was like, God, I don't want to give the next 20 years. This was like 15 years in of planting that church. I don't want to give my next 20 years to something that you're not happy with. And I think some of us have actually got to stop and just actually go, God, are you happy with my walk? Are you happy with what I'm building? Are you happy with what you with the grace that you've given me being outworked in my life? Because I felt like God was not happy with me. I'm happy to say I think He is now. But we had to, you know, I think it's a good thing to take stock and actually look and go, are we building something that the Lord is happy with? Because there's only one that we build for. The one that we will all stand before one day. And will He say, well done, good and faithful servant to us? I'm like, we want to serve our leaders. We want to serve the church. We want to serve the body. But in the end, are we building for the one who we will all stand before? And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I don't even care about the reward that will come, because Paul talked about that, about the reward. We receive a reward if our stuff doesn't get burnt up. I don't even build for the reward. The greatest reward is him saying, well done. Anything else is going to pale into insignificance. Are we going to be able to stand before him and say, well done? You led your family well. You sowed into your community well. You served in my house well. Are we going to be able to stand before him and say that? We stand in the finished work of the cross, but we walk in the unfinished work of Martin Stockdale, or of Warren, or of Clara, or whoever it may be, Zorro. I'm so glad that I had that moment. Because I could have gone on, I don't know how many more years, just playing church. Just building something, you know, like, hey, let's make it as sparkly and shiny. You know, we built like, the most important thing was that you could come to church on Sunday with a smile on your face. We built our worship like that it was going to entertain people. We say to our church now, don't walk out saying, are you happy with the worship? Don't, am I, oh God, I think, you know, like, that was great worship this morning, and it was great worship this morning, but I'm not the measurer. He is. And so we try and walk out in the mornings now going, Lord, were you happy, not with this worship, but with my worship this morning? Were you happy with the way that I worshiped you this morning? It changes everything. It's like it doesn't matter how well things are done on the stage. It matters how well things are done in my heart. How did I, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm up leading the worship, because that'll be bad. But we can still worship him from the heart with passion, with fire. I remember when I first got saved, I went to a church the next week. This guy got up to preach, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, he preached for like over an hour. I'm trying to try and beat him today. Not really. He preached for a long time, and as I'm walking out of the building, guys are saying to me, oh, I'm so sorry you had to listen to that this morning. I'm like, what are you talking about? That was awesome. Because my heart would have heard anything. My heart would have been like happy with a dog's breakfast. I don't know if you've got that saying here, but my heart would have been happy. Are we like that? Are we like hanging off the words? Are we like, Lord, I just want to come. I want something from you today that I can actually run with, that I can build my life upon. And I'm like going, I could have come here this morning and given you the worst word ever. I don't think it would have mattered, because God was in the worship. God was in our time of worship and in the prophetic word. It sort of made it so much easier for me, because I'm like going, well, even if I blow it now, it doesn't really matter, because God's here. And God has already spoken. Do we come to church like that? Do we come into life like that? God, we just want to do what you want us to do, and we want to worship you the way you want us to. So I'm happy to say Impact's in a much better place now, and that's the name of the church that I lead. But I want to have a look at, just quickly, I'm just going to finish with these things. Four areas of our lives are we building well. Number one is our foundations. You know, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3, or just actually, I'll just read verse 3. It says, Paul writes and he says, for I delivered to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Actually, verse 4 as well. Sorry. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. Are we building our lives upon Christ? Upon the fact that he died for us, he was buried, but he rose again and brought us into life. That is our foundation. That is like the 101. Do we walk upon that? It's not upon my efforts. It's not upon my energies, because my goodness, that's not going to work very well. I remember, again, when I first got saved, this pastor's daughter came up to me and said, "How can you call yourself a Christian? You still smoke." And I was like, "Only a brand new Christian, you know?" I was like, I'm standing there before this girl thinking to myself, if smoking's going to get wipe me out of the kingdom, I might as well give out now. That's what I'm like going, if that's how secure I am, if I'm only secure by that sort of thing, no, I am far more secure than that. Thank God that I don't smoke anymore, or at least none of you think I do, but no. I don't. Is Christ and his kingdom in first place? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, first of all, so another first of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Are we actually built upon the fact that actually God has called us to reach the world? I think our foundations in our lives need to be built upon the fact that it's not about me. It's not about what profile I get, what things I get, what houses I get, what cars I get, what boats I get. It's about people. And Paul is writing there to Timothy and he's saying, make sure our lives are filled with these things, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving for all people, not just for my family and my life. And oh Lord, I thank you that you've blessed me. God, no, I'm thankful for all people. I'm thankful for the government. I'm thankful, God. He goes on and he talks about kings and governments. I'm thankful for those things. What are we building our lives upon? That to me says we build them upon what Christ has done for us, but then with a heart for other people. That thing, like, otherwise Christ would take us home. If we're not here for other people, then why are we here? He's left us here to reach people, to be a people who seek after Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Oh, we want to be like you, Jesus. Do we? Do we take that on board in our schools, in our workplaces? I want to be like you, Jesus. Well, you came to seek and save the lost. Okay. We build towards a future, but we have to be careful that the future that we're building towards is an image or a picture that Christ has given us. I shared before, just a couple of weeks ago, I felt like the Lord spoke to me when I first got saved about actually preaching to tens of thousands of people in Asia. And we've actually been working into Asia. I've probably face-to-face spoken to, I don't know, maybe a few thousand over the years. But there was one day we went to Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea is part of Asia or Australasia. We went to Papua New Guinea a few years back and lots of great stories in that trip. But one of the stories was that I got invited to speak on national radio to 100,000 listeners in one hit. I'm like, whoa, God, this was a bit quick for the tens of thousands, you know. It was like 100,000 listeners in one moment. I don't think that was the fulfillment, but it was a glimpse of. And so I shared my testimony in that with 100,000 people on radio. And the next day, I think it was the next day, I got called up in the next day or two or something around there. I got called up saying, could I come to Parliament House and speak to the foreign minister? And so next thing, I'm in Parliament House sitting in the foreign minister's office speaking to him. He was a believer, speaking to him about the Lord and what the Lord had done in my life. And then he said to me, can you pray for me? There's some changes happening and stuff. Can you pray for me? I'm like praying for the foreign minister. I'm like, who am I? You know, like, anyway, I'm praying for this guy. And then 2 weeks later, the prime minister steps down and he becomes the prime minister. And folks, we have just got to be a people who just build for someone else, for another kingdom. I mean, that guy would not probably even remember me from a bar of soap. He wouldn't know my name, but it doesn't matter. He knows his name. And we just step into whatever opportunities God gives us. And don't think that God is a small God. I didn't stand in the Prime Minister's office. 2 weeks later it would have been, but 2 weeks before it was the Foreign Minister. We don't know who the kings that God is going to put us in their lives. If we build our lives well, if we build upon a firm foundation, quote from a book today, you'll get it in a second. Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? That depends on where you want to get to, said the cat. I don't much care where, said Alice. Then it doesn't matter which way you go. You know the story? Alice in Wonderland. Many of us live like that. Will you tell me which way to go? Well, where do you want to get? I don't know exactly where I'm going to end, but I do want to know who's leading me. I do want to know. I've had visions. I've had dreams. I've had words about tens of thousands of people in Asia. I'm headed towards that. But man, I just can't walk a straight line to that because it doesn't get me there. I have to go on a journey with God and actually allow Him to get me there. And when it feels like that thing is far lost, God is a faithful God. I love the story of Moses, that Moses is leading the people. He had it set in his heart to be in the promised land with the people of God. I'm like, this is one of the most devastating moments where God gets Moses to stand on a mountain and look over into the promised land and says, that's where they're going, but you're not taking them. I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy is just like given up. He was a prince in Egypt. He's given it all up. He's leading God's people. And then he's standing before what he hopes is the promised land. And God says to him, you're not going to take them. And there's some reasons for that. And Color will fill you in on that on another time. But the thing that I love is that sometimes when we think the story's over, it's not over. Because in the New Testament, Jesus appears on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, smack bang in the heart of the promised land. And I don't know about you, but I'm like going, leading the people in or standing there with Jesus on the Mount, which would I prefer? I'm going for the second option. And that's what God did for Moses. Isn't that amazing? And so you might think your story's finished. Those dreams are finished. No, God is the restorer. He will bring those things to pass, even when we think it's impossible. I'm just like, that story just blows my mind. Moses standing in the middle of the promised land. So what are we building towards? Are we building towards His kingdom? And even when we feel like it's lost, it's not. And our families. Man, in Australia, it's just such a big thing for parents to be living their lives through their family, through their kids. I don't know if it's the same here, but we need to understand that actually the best thing that we can do for our kids is point them towards Christ. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I see so many parents in Australia choosing not to be at church for this event or that event for their kids' sake. And I'm just like going, what is that actually saying to their kids in the light of eternity? Church is not important. Your sporting career, your this or that is more important. That's a bad foundation. And we want to build good foundations for our lives and for our families. You say amen. I'm so happy. One of my daughters had a wobble. Wasn't in church for some time. It was tough. It was really, really tough. What, maybe 3 months ago? Come back to the Lord. Just repenting publicly with people, telling them how much she'd done wrong and just now just in church and loving God. Train up a child, guys. There's nothing better than that. It doesn't matter whether they're a doctor or anything like that. It's actually what matters is they're going to stand before the King one day. And is he going to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I have so much more to say, but no more time. Well, actually, just that, even in that point there, is the church, this fellowship, part of our foundations? Are we building the house of God? Are we sowing into the house of God? And like, for, I just want to finish with this, that yes, 15 years in, I felt like almost like 15 years wasted of building the church and looking out going, this place is ugly. Not the people, but the carnality in it. This is not what you wanted, Lord. But I just want to say that you might feel like that time's been wasted, that time's gone, I've just lost so much. Let me tell you that God restores. And that we just have to pause and say, Lord, I've done it wrong. I've built wrong. I've maybe built my family wrong. I've maybe built towards my future wrong. I've maybe built towards your house wrong. But I stand before you again today, Lord, and say, you can right my wrongs. And here I am, 8 or 9 years after that moment, saying that Impact Church is in a healthy place. We are in a good place, and God is, you know, moving amongst us. We planted another congregation first time. Well, actually, it's not the first time, but we planted another healthy congregation. And that is doing well. Don't let an event or something become a full stop when God just wanted it to be a comma. Wherever you're at right now, oh Lord, I just haven't done what you wanted. It's a comma. And let God continue to write that story. Can you say amen with me?